It is my pleasure to share with you today the final analysis from the randomized phase 3 ASPIRE trial in which carfilzomib with lenalidomide dex has been compared with lenalidomide and dexamethasone. The initial result showed a significant benefit in PFS with a hazard ratio of 0.69, which was associated with a complete response rate of 32% versus 9% in the KRD versus RD arms. Just to remember, the KRD was based on carfilzomib 27 milligrams and the standard dose of lenalidomide and dexamethasone. A total of 792 patients were included. All these patients were relapsed or refractory myeloma patients that have prior received 1 to 3 lines of therapy. 46% of the patients were stage 3. High-risk cytogenetics was observed in 12% of the patients, and 66% of the patients were previously exposed to bortezomib. The primary endpoint was progression-free survival, and in the initial report, we saw it already that there was a significant benefit for the experimental arm, and now the progression-free survival assessed by the independent review committee confirmed almost 10 months difference, and this is also being confirmed in the progression-free survival assessed by the investigator and updated the information with 26 months versus 16.6 months in the control arm at a hazard ratio of 0.66. But probably the most exciting data that is being presented correspond to the overall survival. The overall survival is significantly better in the experimental arm, 48 months versus 40 months for the control arm. And again, this is highly significant of benefit for the KRD treatment. And this benefit in overall survival is observed across all pre-specified subgroup, patients receiving one or more than two prior lines of therapy, patients previously exposed to bortezomib, any prior bortezomib, and disease non-responses or responses to bortezomib were equally effective when they were treated with carfilzomib, lenalidomide, and dexamethasone. It should be noted that the overall survival is associated with the quality of the response. Patients that achieve a complete response or better enjoyed a significantly longer overall survival. The challenge is always to the analysis of survival beyond progression, and in this study shows that the use of carfilzomib is not associated with more resistant disease because the survival beyond progression is equal in the KRD and RD arms. Finally, talking about adverse events, you can see the incidence of adverse event is almost identical in both arms, except for more frequent hypokalemia in patients receiving carfilzomib. If we concentrate now in adverse event about cardiovascular events, we can see that the incidence is higher, as has been reported with carfilzomib, more cardiac failure, more hypertension, but the same rate of peripheral neuropathy. And the good news is that we have learned now how to handle with these cardiovascular events. Therefore, I can conclude that this second phase 3 trial in relapse refractory patients using carfilzomib demonstrate a significant benefit in overall survival, and the same was all previously shown for carfilzomib dex in the Endeavor trial. Then we have two randomized trial in which carfilzomib is associated not only with a benefit in progression-free survival, but also in a benefit in overall survival. The KRD efficacy advantage is most pronounced in first relapse with 11-month improvement in overall survival. And safety is consistent with prior findings. Now let me share with you the data on minimal residual disease that has been presented by the Spanish group and Bruno Paiva on behalf of the Spanish group. What should be the goal of therapy in myeloma patients? Should be to search for an appropriate balance between treatment efficacy, toxicity and cost. But if cure is the goal, then we need to eradicate all tumor cells, and this implies to achieve and maintain the best possible response. What is the best possible response? Minimal residual disease negativity. In this meeting, we are going to see two very important presentations. The first one is from the French group. In this randomized trial, they have analyzed the impact of minimal residual disease after consolidation and after maintenance by using next-generation sequencing. Hervé Avelasso has previously reported that in patients that achieve minimal residual disease negativity at the level of 10 to the minus 6, the progression-free survival is significantly longer than patients that achieve minimal residual disease negativity in the level of 10 to the minus 5 or 10 to the minus 4. And this was independent of prior treatment. Patients that achieve MRD negativity post-maintenance in both treatment arms obtain a significantly longer survival. At this meeting, Hervé has updated the final analysis of this very important trial. 269 patients were evaluated for minimal residual disease using the clonoSEQ approach, and they saw that the progression-free survival is significantly longer for patients that achieve MRD negativity, not reached versus 29 months. And the treatment arm shows that more patients in the transplant arm achieve MRD negativity, but no difference among MRD negative cases. In addition, high-risk cytogenetic patients who achieve MRD negativity presented a significantly better outcome than standard risk patients who did not achieve MRD negativity. And this study also illustrates a very important point. MRD negativity is also associated with significantly longer overall survival. The Spanish study that I alluded before, that is going to be presented by Laura Rossignol, the clinical data, is based on 6 induction cycles with bortezomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, followed by autologous transplant with either melphalan 200 or busulfan melphalan, and consolidation with 2 VRD cycles. MRD is analyzed after induction, after transplant, and after consolidation. And the data on MRD correspond to 419 patients, over 1,000 bone marrow samples that has been analyzed in this study. The approach is the new next generation flow cytometry that allowed a limit of detection of 10 to the minus 6 that was reached in 88% of the samples. After induction, 35% of the patients achieved an MRD negative status. After transplant, the figure increased to 54%. And 58% after consolidation. And MRD negative patients, similar to what Hervé Avelasso has shown by the next generation sequencing here with the next generation flow, MRD negative patients have significantly longer progression-free survival. And it, once again, the depth of the MRD negativity is associated with longer survival. Patients that achieve MRD negativity or an MRD negative level between 10 to the minus 6 and 10 to the minus 5 have significantly longer progression-free survival. And this benefit is observed across all subgroups in advanced stage and, what is very important, in high-risk patients. In fact, high-risk patients that achieve MRD negativity do as well as standard risk patients with also MRD negativity, and much better than standard risk patients that remain MRD positive. Final comment, we have observed already some relapses, and interestingly, the relapses correspond to patients with extramedullary disease. This reinforces the need to analyze MRD negativity both inside the bone marrow and outside the bone marrow. And these are my conclusion. This is the largest MRD study. NGF is feasible in large multicenter trials. high sensitivity and allow the identification of hemodiluted bone marrow samples. The sensitivity for 10 to the minus 5 and 10 to the minus 6 confer significantly better survival, and MRD negativity is probably the most relevant endpoint both in standard and high risk in transplant eligible patients. Thank you very much for your attention.